Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, the heck with the theme music. We have a lot to talk about.
Good grief.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the absolute truth right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody is sober.
Oh, yes, I'm sober. But guess what? I'm not going to eat no chocolate pudding for a very, very long time, you know.
Oh, dear Lord.
And it has begun. I am your host, the Hot Rod.
Yeah. I think everybody's got a case of the giggles today, which is kind of weird.
And on the phone, like, I got, what's his name again?
It's Sean Black, the one that's not eating any pudding in the building once again. Hello.
You like that vanilla pudding, I bet. And,
it's gonna be one of those shows.
Yeah. All right. And we got Tisha on the line, and Kato in a few minutes. Hello. The number to call us to hear me going crazy. 347.
Get the number right first.
All right. 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. Now, let's piss some people off tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get the giggles out before we piss people off. There you go.
Oh, no. No, but this one I do want to talk about for a few minutes because it is a giggle to me. Ladies and gentlemen, last week on social media and on the news, people were debating and having a serious debate about two Sesame Street characters called Bert and Ernie, and an ex-writer of the show went out in public and said that, you know, their stories and their lifestyle are basically gay lifestyle. So, of course, you know, everybody went crazy. Everyone debating about and arguing about two puppets being gay. Now, Tisha, as a mother of a four-year-old, do you care about this topic about Bert and Ernie being gay, or you knew for a long time about the storyline, or that it finally came out, or what was your intake on it?
I heard about the story, but I was like always thinking they were just best friends and showing, you know, children how to be friends. I never even thought about it. Oh, Bert and Ernie is gay.
I don't know. Ever since that bathtub scene, you know, complete with my brother Ducky Ernie, something else. So, I don't know.
Good grief. Good Lord.
What? I'm just saying. But, but back then, if you heard about this, would that be your concern compared to now? Now we're all open-minded to a certain degree. But back then, when everything was taboo, if you had to find out about it, would you be, like, a little bit appalled by it? To find out it's burning, burning?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I think it depends. This is the funny thing about this topic. The answer to that question evolved as you got older. When you're young and watching Sesame Street, you don't know anything about what is quote-unquote gay. So you look at them and like, oh, they're friendly. They're best friends. Then you get from being a kid to being in junior high school and say, you know what, that's a little bit peculiar that they were, you know, because they're perceived as two grown, quote-unquote, adult
men.
Puppets. So it kind of looks like, oh, it's kind of weird that they're getting the same bathtub. What are they doing? You become an adult, and then the first thing pops in your head, oh, yeah, they're definitely gay, you know. So the thought process with Sesame Street, and the good thing about Sesame Street, if you've looked at the show for any length of time, is that they are very good at integrating bits and pieces of America and putting it into their puppets. They put in a puppet that has autism. They just recently did this, like within the last couple of years. They had a puppet that I think was blind. They'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to introduce
a
puppet that is gay, or they want to have somebody that is in there that represents somebody that is gay or lesbian, they'll do that as well. I don't necessarily think that they're going to do that with Bert and Ernie, because let's be honest, Sesame Street's been on television, what, 50-something, 60 years?
Yes.
You know?
Can't you imagine Ernie? I'm coming out the closet and come play with my Rubby Ducky now. Please.
Hey, Ernie.
I'm just saying.
Hey, Bert. Bert. Get
it
over there, my pepper.
No, I just brought this up because, like I said, the debates was going crazy. I'm like, Why are we arguing about puppets and their sexuality? It's just a show for kids about ABCs and 1-2-3s. The sexualities have nothing to do with it at all. And like Tisha said, who cares now, you know, if it might come out the closet?
Apparently a lot of people do. And a lot of people are looking at that because they are looking. We're in a time now where everybody wants to put labels on everything. So if you're a child or you're an adult or anywhere in between, you want to identify as something, and you want to gravitate to something that you either look towards or that you feel comfortable with. That's just the way it is right now. You feel an identity. You want to gravitate toward what you think you identify with.
Okay, so basically after the show, Sean Black will be playing with my rubby ducky in the bathtub. That's what he's trying to say. But okay, let me get serious for a minute here. All right, first of all, I was on mute all this time.
Damn it.
Okay.
Hot Rod, that's just damn rude, man.
Okay, now he's back on mute. So like I was saying,
I guess that's where all the giggling came from.
I guess so. So last night we could not do the show due to I was not feeling too well. So, but tonight we have to talk about the show due to Bill Cosby. And tonight was a set. Earlier today we found out about the sentencing of Cosby. Of course, Tisha, I'd like to start off with you, was as a lady. And this whole called Me Too movement, where everything that's going on in the crazy world today, do you call the sentencing, of Bill Cosby 3 to 10 years fair or unfair, or should be more, or what's your thought?
So let's start off with the Me Too movement. I'm tired of everybody just saying Me Too for, you know, every single thing. Yes, it's a movement, but this has been going on for decades upon decades upon decades. So he was married, correct, when all of this, all these accusations came out?
Yes.
So you have a price to pay, my brother. You know, wanted to do this while you were married and so forth. Don't forget, some of these women also was with Bill Cosby because of his fame and figured they could get a few benefits out of that. They knew he was married as well. So, I mean, this is the price you pay for what you were accused of, okay? So I just want to see what's going to happen with Harvey Weinstein next. Maybe he'll be on trial next week, you think? I doubt it. But Bill Cosby might do the minimum 3 years. I don't really see him doing a full sentence of the 10 years.
The man is 81 years old. If he do 10 years, God bless him.
They said minimum 3 to 10, right?
81 and
yes.
3 to 10. And he's 81 and is in bad health. So... you know, with all that being said, you're right, because they knew who Bill Cosby was. That was the whole thing. These females knew all about Cosby. So, you know, I'm not saying that to blame the victim, because you know what? Rape.
Yeah, I'm not blaming the victims at all.
No. Rape is the worst crime to ever happen to a woman. And so, with that being said, you knew who Bill Cosby was. Plus, Bill Cosby should have known better. Come on, man. You're a married man. Have some respect for your damn self. You know?
It doesn't even have to do with married, but Quaaludes was popular back then.
Quaaludes.
I don't know.
Yeah, back then.
Right? Am I pronouncing it right?
But
he knew what he was also doing when one of the women said, okay, you know, he put a Quaalude in my drink, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. I'm just wondering also, did she do Quaaludes before to know that's what it was, or did she know that he was going to put it in her drink? I don't know. Some of the stories I believe, some I don't. I'm just saying, I don't know.
I'm like, before I go to you, Sean, and I just find this story, like I told Sean a few minutes ago, a lot of people might get upset. I feel a little bit bad and sorry for Bill Cosby for different reasons. Not for what he's done overall. If he did do whatever he did, of course he deserved what he got. But the system kind of like is broken. But you got Bill Cosby being a fall guy of many other guys who have done a lot worse towards females. And like Tisha said, hopefully Harvey Weinstein get what he deserved. And he better
Harvey
get the thrown at him.
Harvey Weinstein, Bill O'Reilly, and a host of others. Charlie Sheen is one of them, too.
Yeah, or basically older white men who have done a lot more worse who have not been in trial yet besides Harvey Weinstein. Well, Harvey Weinstein, like Sean told me earlier, there's no choice because he did it to so many women over the years. There's no way he could get away with it like other guys. Like
and let's not forget, and let's not forget Roman Polanski.
Another one too, but Sean.
This is the overarching story that connects all of these things where we're hearing about from as all of the names that you've mentioned. What I did not like, even though it's going to be there as something that's going to be talked about, is race. We know race is there. It's very pervasive.
Yes, it is.
It happens no matter what. Mm-hmm. But when I actually watched the end of the sentencing hearing, when they showed Bill Cosby coming out of the courthouse, which is still kind of weird, watching him in handcuffs with the metal atop his shackles and the whole nine, and then to see his representation play the race card, at a time where, although we do know African-Americans are disproportionately underrepresented in these kinds of cases or things of that nature, this particular instance, although race is a tenet, is not the main issue to this particular set group of people.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that is because there are so many victims and alleged and allegations that came out that had to be looked at. And the other thing that people just continue to not talk about is that Cosby, under a deposition, admitted to doing at least some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not to all of the victims that have come out that have alleged that they had something happen to them, but he has admitted in the deposition. So there is no, you know, there's guilt there. He has to now register as a violent sex offender the rest of his life. He's got to get counseling, government appointed, and he has to do a minimum of 3 years with parole and wait until parole. So he's going to be in state prison. This is regardless. Nobody is thinking that this blind man is going to go out and do something.
But let's be honest. He's getting like a fair treatment in jail. You know, he could get a VIP treatment in jail. You know,
he's not going to be in jail.
But you know what? No, he's not. Because you know what else they did say too? They said, that he was deemed as dangerous. I'm like, dangerous? I'm like, the man can't see. He's 81 years old, and like I said before, not in good health. So what danger could he?
Good.
Yeah. What danger could he possibly be in that
what is happening now is, although they put that dangerous moniker next to his name because of what he's done in the past, he has to pay and atone for what he did in the past. So even though we've seen war criminals that have been, you know, like, were neo-Nazis or were doing stuff during World War II that were escaping the law and got arrested and went to trial in their 80s and went to jail for their war crimes. So it shouldn't matter what age the person is or what their physical well-being is.
Exactly.
We know certain things happen. If you do something, you're going to have to pay for it. And there's not enough money or slick talking that is going to do with
that's
that
gonna cover
in general.
It.
Because remember one thing, Bill Cosby has money. If you, I, or Cato had done the same exact thing, we would have received the death penalty by now because of Bill Cosby's status quo.
And I wanted to point out something, too. I wanted to point out something, too, Hot Rod. Did you know that the actual accuser, the 30-year-old who accused him of, who brought up the charges of rape, he had paid her money before, hush money. You know, he paid her hush money. And now the question is, they said, like I was talking to my coworkers today, they said, why does she still make the, why does she come out with the crime if she had hush money? I'm like, well, there's also, it's called dignity. And you know what? It doesn't matter about your celebrity status. You're not going to silence me knowing what you did. You know,
we still have to remember this is a society that and a culture that continues to aid and abet the people that actually do the crime.
The crime.
And then
yes, they do.
Turn the finger to the people that are trying
victim.
To find enough strength to actually call out their attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are
that.
Shamed again when they do come out. And as we're going to probably talk about a little later on with the whole Brett Kavanaugh thing, is that we see lots and lots of people that are victims get re-victimized, and it's almost looked at as something that's normal because most men
yes,
that have power to do this kind of thing will do it to deflect, to make sure that you don't see where the real issue is coming from. And that's part
and,
of the problem.
And you know what's sad about it? You know what's horrible about that? They try to sweep it under the rug as if it never happened. But guess what? What you did, you violated a woman in the worst way and then try to hide it. Who do you think you're fooling? You know what? It's a boomerang effect. You know what? It's going to bounce back and come right back to you and bite you in the ass.
But it goes back to the word that Sean said, power. And that's what
yeah.
that's what's in there. So.
And
well,
I think
oh, you're right about
stings,
that.
What stings the African-American community the most is not just the fact that it's Bill Cosby, and it's the fact that he is, you know, the reputation that he has. It's the fact that he was so overly judgmental. And pious toward
mm-hmm.
the African-American community when it came to talking about issues within the community. And as
yes.
he, in the eyes of a lot of African-Americans, looked like he thumbed his nose at the community. Remember the pound cake discussion
that
he had? All of those things came out. And meanwhile, you're preaching about morality when you have no morality yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
But I'll add more to it, too, because, you know,
hey,
he even
on,
knocked
hold on,
it.
Hold on. Hey,
yeah.
Hold on. You're all right.
I'm
calm
holding
down,
on.
Calm down.
I'm
calm.
Tisha, do you
but
see
Sean,
what they're doing, Tisha?
Nobody's perfect, though, you know. I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but what about the priests that go out there and talk about sin and everything,
mm-hmm.
and they got the nerve to touch our children, and people are not
right.
outraged about that overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
true.
Some people are outraged, but they're not throwing much anger or frustration with the Catholic Church compared to Bill Cosby raping all these females. Why
well,
do
you know
think
what
so?
I'm pretty
you know
sure
what
that you're going to
hold on,
hear.
Hold on, kid. Sean, let Sean answer. Then you
can
take on. Calm down.
I'm pretty sure, as far as the Catholic community, because I know many, many friends that are Catholic, that were raised Catholic, that are up in arms over this whole thing. As far as the disproportionate media response between what the reaction is with Cosby and what's happening with the sex offenders thing, as I stated before, African Americans particularly are the ones that feel the bite much more off, much more so because of how Cosby was portrayed. He built up a large cachet of respectability. He was a psychiatrist, a child psychologist. He had books and all of this stuff about what you should do in the African-American community to get men out of the streets and get jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And in doing so, there is this thought process that he was indemnifying the community for not doing enough. And if you're trying to say that and tell people that you're not doing enough, meanwhile, you're taking those same women that are supposed to be the backbone of society and you're putting roofies and quaaludes, and you're drugging them, and you're doing all of these disgusting things. How can you preach that to somebody with a clear conscience when you have children who look up to you, and you're going ahead and you potentially may have molested one of the people that looking up to you, a relative of theirs? You just don't know.
Everybody have two faces, but go ahead, Kato. What you like to add on?
What I like to add on is that. Bill Cosby was known for, let's just say, chastising people on dirt. Like, okay, like a lot of us at work were talking about Hannibal Buress, how he put it out there. But I remember even before Hannibal Buress had put it out there, D.L. Hughley had put it out there himself because Bill Cosby had criticized a lot of comedians for on basis of language. He criticized Richard Pryor. He criticized Eddie Murphy. He criticized a bunch of comedians, and he refused to put them on. Like, he refused to, like, push them out there or help them grow. he kind of like put them down in a way like, oh, look at me, look how clean I am. I'm a clean comedian. And meanwhile, you're standing there cursing and you're dirty. But yet, they brought up the case about, well, you go around raping women. A lot of people knew this was going on. For a long time, they knew about it. It just wasn't made public until Hannibal Buress brought it up during his during a comedy show, if you guys remember. When he said like this, well, you know, Bill Cosby raped women. And in 2015, that's when it all came out in the open about all the allegations were just coming out. Go ahead.
All right, Tisha, anything else you'd like to add on?
No, I just wanted to go back to what you and Sean was saying real quick with as far as religion, why, you know, Catholic priests aren't, let's say, standing trial for their convictions and what they did. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you come down to a religion, people don't even like to touch that. It's like so above God, you know what I mean?
Oh,
so they're
yes,
not trying
is.
To put them, you know, they're not trying to put them on trial and so forth. But they'll quicker put a Hollywood black man on trial before they put. I just want to see Weinstein on trial already.
Exactly.
Let's start his trial. I'm sorry.
How Rod and I talked about this off
that
air,
and
I basically
and
stated this is what I feel. I think that Harvey Weinstein will serve jail time. I don't think there's going to be
really?
A trial. I firmly believe
I don't
what's
see
going
it
to happen.
Or.
This is what I think is going to happen. It may not happen initially, but I think he's going to settle out of court. The reason why I say that is there are way too many victims that actually have power that he will not want to go to trial over. He's already lost his marriage over this whole thing. He's got businesses. He lost his production company, millions and millions of dollars, et cetera, et cetera. If he's going to go through and take the atonement for all of this, he will settle out of court. He will go to jail. He won't have a trial so that they don't throw all of his business out there. I will almost guarantee you that that's probably what's going to happen.
Okay.
Most likely.
What happens is a different story.
Then we don't have any cases anymore. We have Brother B in the house.
Ew,
hey,
what up, what up? What up's going on, everybody?
Hey, Brother B.
Yeah, I just got off the train. Yeah, greetings and salutations. Listen, I just got off the train. I wasn't privy to too much of what you guys were saying, but I will say this. Harvey Weinstein, he ain't going to see jail time for a minute. That's number one. Number two, his assets has already been protected. So he didn't lose anything. All that time before he claimed he turned himself in, when that whole front page thing, what, a couple of months back, they already were in the works. Prior, even before that, when accusations first started coming out, they started switching everything over. So he's not losing any money in no way, shape, or form. The problem I have with black people and right now is with black women.
Oh,
right now,
brother,
once again,
brother,
black people and black
on,
women.
Don't forget
listen,
there's a black woman on the phone, Brother B.
Hold on.
I know.
Hold
I know, but listen,
no,
respectfully.
Brother B,
respectfully.
You. This is a disclaimer on Brother B's part, okay?
Listen,
disclaimer.
Black people.
The comments that are coming from Brother B are not solely those.
Yeah, coming
not,
from
not
me, man. Real talk. I mean, my black people, we know it's a double standard, yet we're not saying anything. We know it's a bias, yet we're not saying anything. We're just happy that someone got hung because Bill Cosby wasn't talking the talk that black people wanted to hear. Black people, Bill Cosby was like, yo, pull your pants up. Stop running your mouth. Get off the welfare. This, that, and the third. Stop looking for their help. Do something with yourself. See, what his private life has nothing to do with the fact that in the beginning, years ago, he was one of a big face behind, you know, the black people movement, you know, being pro-black and this and that. So his personal life has nothing to do with the fact of what he was about for our people. That's number one. Number two, you can't even – there's a lot of women out there in the Me Too movement, whatever, want to claim victory. You can't really claim a victory unless you're going to get everybody. You just got one person, and we don't hear anything. Look at this Kavanaugh cat right now. He's going to get past this. He's going to get past this, but make no mistake, they're going to make sure, and it's going to be a slap in the face to that 80-something-year-old black man that they just sent to prison. There's going to be a slap in the face to every black person that gets accused for something, and the same thing that white person gets accused for, and they get and it's like, well, we can't put them in jail, but we can put you in jail. You see what I'm saying? It's a double standard, and we're not saying
here's
anything.
Here's what I got to say about this. Mind you, Hot Rod, please let me say this. This, I call this this is what you call white privilege. I know I bring this, I know I said this is a white privilege, because look at it this way. Bill Cosby, the minute it was announced, the minute the accusations begin to come out, and that the public, let's just say the public already condemned him already. Now, you had Bill O'Reilly, Harvey Weinstein, even Charlie Sheen, Roman Polanski, tons of others, even down to Dump. They've all been had their hands in the cookie jar committing acts against women. But where was the how come none of them were ever condemned? How come the minute it was announced Bill Cosby was of
Hello?
It sounded like he lost his signal there. He got so riled up, I think he cut off his
communication.
Well, no, you know, but I get where he's coming from. I get where K-Dole is coming from, but I have that serious problem with the fact that we're not saying anything. We are always not saying anything. Well, we're going to go to church. Well, we're going to go pray. They're going to shoot another unarmed black man or black woman, and we're just going to go pray. We're going to go march. What are we going to go do now? We're going to go sit in the IHOP or go sit at a Waffle House where they're shooting us up anyway and just talk about it? I mean, come on now. We keep getting slapped in the face. White privilege? No. Okay, you believe in that,
please,
but I believe
call
in white
arrogance.
It is white arrogance. You know why? Because they do it, and they're saying, look, we did it, and we're doing it in your face. And you're not going
to
do anything about it. You go to any white person right now and talk to them about that Cosby thing, and they ain't going to have much to say because they don't care, because it's that arrogance.
Caesar, you seem to disagree. Why you disagree, or seem to disagree, excuse me.
What, with the white privilege and white arrogance that to me equals the same? It sounds like the same, just in a different term, but okay.
Well, there is arrogance in privilege, whether white or not. So that's
I'm
a symptom of the privilege. Although we're going to probably differ in the ideal behind it, because I see what your slant is on it. But it for some people it's just a matter of semantics.
Listen, I'm privileged to carry a firearm in the city and state of New York, but there's no arrogance in it. There's no arrogance in it. It is what it is.
You're a smart man. You know what you're doing.
But you also have respect for the gun that you have and what you do with it. The people that don't have the respect use that arrogance as part of their privilege. And that's the whole idea.
Right, it's kind of a twist on that.
Yeah, but listen,
I get what Brother B is saying. I totally get
I get what you guys are saying about the privilege thing. I mean, don't get it twisted. I get it, but all together, no matter what, we still getting spit on. And they're laughing, and that's the thing that annoys me the most. Because we're quick to jump on our own, but we're not going to say anything about Harvey Weinstein. We got Kevin Spacey done went off into the wind, and of hundreds of others, these senators, the ones making love in the bathroom with boys and all types of stuff. We're not saying anything anymore. Nothing.
The same senators that are going to try to push Brett Kavanaugh into the Supreme Court.
Exactly. They've been guilty themselves of committing such crimes.
Even the President of the United States, we're not going to say anything anymore.
We're just going to let it roll.
Let's talk about Brett for a second there and the accusers that's going on. Tisha, once again, do you believe that, don't you question the timing of this, that how Brett is being nominated for the highest court? In Supreme Court, is all of a sudden that a sexual assault just come out of nowhere?
No, it's not that it comes out of nowhere. I've seen this happen in so many things, even in business, when you go out for a promotion and there goes somebody that wants to hate on you with something or bring up something that you've done wrong. You've seen that in many things. So the timing, as far as the timing, I mean, it might be great timing, it might not be great timing.
Well, because I talked to Sean about this the other day, guys, like, listen, I'm sure he's a jerk off or he's an a-hole. He probably did something wrong. But you tell me, after 35 years, in so-called the Me Too movement and everything that's going on right now this lady's talking because she don't want this guy to be on the seat? Or did the Democrats or the Republicans decide to dig up some dirt and get some PI work and try to pick up any dirt on this guy? That's my question about overall.
I've seen that so many times before. I get your question with that. I've seen that many, many times before. Many times they'll dig up dirt.
Yeah.
But isn't he the same guy that's not for abortion?
That's another thing.
So let's shut it down. You put a female out there that wants to say that, you know, he raped her and so forth back then. Why not? I'm going to play that ticket on this abortion ticket right now. Why wouldn't I? You're talking about fighting for women's rights right now. Okay, let's up it again. If he raped her, she needs to prove that. And
but
so
see, this is the whole Sean,
hold on 1 second. Sean, hold on 1 minute,
yes,
please.
Yes.
How you doing, everyone? Hello?
How you doing, everyone?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Thank you. Yeah, you know, regarding all this Kavanaugh and Donald Trump, etc., these are pretty much is a show to entertainment our society in United States, because they don't want us to be wake up, to be alert and consciousness. And they want us to dumb America. And that's why this is the whole show. This is all, you know, they put people against each other. For example, you like Kavanaugh, I don't like him, for example, or vice versa. They put us together, and our energy and negative energy is wasted for their cause. Are happy that we are doing this. You see what I'm saying? This is the issue. Everything you see is just fake, and he's a fake, and Donald Trump is a fake. You think he every time he gets up in the morning, a special call comes to him and says, okay, I want you to tweet this. I want you to do this today, and go ahead. If you don't listen to me, we will make you out ASAP. That's it.
Okay.
Where
are you calling from?
Mike from Singapore.
Singapore, okay. Thank you.
Salutations to Singapore. How are you?
Oh, okay. Well, so you're basically saying that this is all nothing but entertainment, like a reality TV show? That's what you're saying?
Yes. You know, to make us all fight between each other, and then they win. They want divide and conquer. And that's their model.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know even he can run anything, this Trump, anyway.
Wow.
Who the hell?
Hey, you want to know the funny thing about what you just said? Trump was at the UN today.
And they laughed at him.
He said something basically pumping himself up, and everybody at the UN laughed at him.
And then
he tried to flip the script by after the interview was over. Oh, I said something, it was funny, and I thought it was whatever.
No, he was dead-ass serious, because you know what, guys? I just want to say this about that whole situation. I even laughed when I heard about it, because I'm like this. It's about time someone laughed at this clown. Because you know what?
Yes.
It's the biggest comedy ever. Because you know what? That's why the United States is looked upon as a joke. The United States is looked upon as a joke because of this yet in office.
Well, Mike,
I don't think the country is looked at as a joke as much as it is the government, the people that are running it, as a joke. I think what the world sees the United States, they see the United States is sleepwalking right now because they have a zombie at the head of the place. And they're waiting for the zombie to be taken out and moved out of office so that they can get back to trusting the United States again.
Exactly.
So our leader is a joke, not the entire country.
I don't think they're looking at the country as a joke. I think they're looking at the leadership as a joke.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant to say.
So, Mike, do you think this country is a joke?
No, I mean, it's, you know, everything is fake and joke, and everything is just look like a zombie, as you mentioned. Everybody's zombie. They give them hashish cheaper than the Vicodin for you guys.
You're right about that.
The thing is, it is a joke. It is a joke. You know why? Because Trump came in and made it a joke, and he's laughing at it. he's laughing about. There are people that are laughing. Remember all the statements he made years ago about he would run as a Republican and this, this, that. It's a joke to him.
Right.
And it's actually a joke to some of the people that he runs with. And there are people that are actually, they're going for the joke. Like, they're all with it. They don't realize how much they've sacrificed and compromised themselves for the laugh.
That's
true. We look stupid. We look stupid as a people. We look stupid as a nation. We look stupid as a species.
But
they look
why in the middle of New York? Why in the middle of New York people have to be a zombie because they smoke heroin, etc. I mean, or you know,
it's
cheap and not in it. Have you ever seen that they confiscated all this heroin or marijuana, etc.? Did they ever come in front of TV, burn it up, say we are
it's a way to keep everybody deaf, dumb, and blind.
Exactly.
They recycle it, the money for them. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Mike, have you been to New York or to the United States before?
Repeat again, sorry.
Have you been to New York or been to the United States before?
Oh, yeah. I'm an American citizen. I work in Singapore. Go ahead.
In Singapore.
Oh, okay.
So you're not afraid of Trump trying to be being hard on immigrants and going after ICE chasing people down, separating families. You're not afraid of that for your families, are you?
Yeah, it's like Hitler did when Hitler took care of Germany. They right away separated the Jewish mother, father, each other, and plus the kids. Everybody in different locations, three different FEMA camps, and FEMA camps are death camps. This is happening under your nose. If you guys don't wake up, you will not have any more country left.
Wow. Okay.
He sounds almost exactly like what I said a couple weeks ago. These midterm elections are going to probably be the most important because it's going to set the tone for what happens between now and the next presidential election. As far as
I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Mind if I say something about this whole midterm election? And I could see it because you know why? Even during the primaries, people are taking voting seriously. And it's about damn time. It's about time y'all woke up and see what the hell is going on. Because you know what? It's either you do this. It's either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution. It's either you put up or shut up. Because you know what? Voting is a voice. But if you choose to stay silent and sit on the sideline and just sit at home and the wrong candidate gets in, who knows? Your vote could have stopped that candidate, but no, you chose to stay home, and that's how the wrong candidate got in.
I mean, I would like to ride with you on that one, K-Dog, but I think they compromised the voting system a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you,
but
I think that was Gordon Bush.
Yes, they did. They did. But
Mike,
at the same time, you gotta have a voice.
Well, Mike, thanks so much to call in from Singapore. We appreciate it so much. Have a good night, and still tune in and listen to us every night. Thank you so much, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much for giving me the time.
Mike.
And
no problem.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, okay, we got 5 minutes left. There was one thing I want to address. This is a topic that Brother B had covered on his show, The Menu Monday Night. And we'll give this out to Tisha and Sean without her Cato point of view. Can a woman have too much independence on herself?
No. You can have as much independence as you want.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because to me, it's about self-care first. I'm going to take care of me first. I want to hear you guys' answer to this.
Sure. Okay, Sean's a kiss ass over here, so go ahead first.
Well, speak for yourself. At least I have my own opinion. Okay? This is the way I've looked at it from just listening to the question. You can have too much independence whether you're male or female. It depends on whether that independence hurts you from actually wanting to do something outside of being independent. If you're the type of person that enjoys your independence and that is important to you, male or female, there's nothing wrong with that. as long as you can go out and be happy with that decision or happy with that part of your lifestyle and it doesn't interfere with anything else. Because there are some people, whether you're male or female, that are independent, but it can then harm them because they mm-hmm. are so independent that they sometimes almost don't accept other people into their life or into their lives because they don't feel they need to have that in their lives. And there are, on the other side of it, there are males and females that are independent to a point where they know that the other person in the relationship would like to be part of their lives and know that they can be counted on as long as that they're in that circle or allowed to. But not everybody's like that. Everybody's different. So,
for the record, I like to talk to Sean on the phone because he makes more sense on the phone when we talk off the show compared to on the show. On the show, he just ramble about nothing. But for that point, Brother B.
What's up?
What's your intake about independent women?
Well, no, I mean, listen, I don't have a problem with a woman being independent, but too independent, yeah. I mean, listen, once again, like I said the other day, everybody has traditional roles. You can't, and when you have men that have been brought up in that traditional role of like, listen, you got to do for your mother, you got to do for your family, you got to do for your wife, your woman, your household, for your children. When you have a woman that's been doing certain things by themselves for so long, which I understand, then you got that guy that comes along. Listen, you got to be more discerning in your decision making when trying to tell him, well, I'll let you do this, but you can't do that, or I don't want you to do this because, you know, I'm not sure if you're going to be around for the long haul. Listen, I get it. I mean, I get it. But you know what? You got to let a man be a man in certain situations. If a man is willing to take care of you and do what you got to do for the family and all this and that, then you good.
It can
you know,
be just as
good.
Simple. It can be just as simple a notion as opening up and holding a door for a female. Because I've actually
Some women don't like
that. A guy holds a door for a female, and the female's like, I don't need you to hold the door for me. I can hold.
Matter
my
of fact, Hot Rod, I got a prime example. There was a young lady that used to call in on your show, and we were speaking about men that walk on the outside or the inside of the sidewalk. What did she say? I don't want no man walking on the outside. I can walk on the outside. She had a serious attitude when you mentioned it. And I found it interesting.
Because you know what?
You have some women that are so independent, they're not ready for that, or they don't even understand that. That's where the problem may come in. Yeah.
That's where the problem is.
Hold on, everyone. And Tisha, that part, I like that point very well.
Exactly.
Because that's a problem with some females today. And like I told you on the show, everybody, hold on, K-Dog, please. Everybody needs somebody at a certain degree overall. You know, that's the bottom line. There's no such thing as too independent, I believe. But go ahead, Kato. We have a minute and a half left.
Okay, what I said on the show on Sunday about independent, you know, independent, sometimes an independent person could turn the other person off. You understand what I'm saying? So with that being said, you know, it depends. It's how you carry your independence. That's what it means. You know, as long as it doesn't, like, push others away. You know, because, like, at the end of the day, everybody needs somebody, man. Come on now. It's not cool to be needy, but you understand what I'm saying.
And I think it also depends on how you learned to be independent. Because you can learn the quote-unquote wrong way, if there is such a thing as a wrong way, and that can harm you in your development of yourself.
Okay. Yes, it can.
You're trying to figure out if you're independent or not.
Okay, I just want to add on to this. I just like when some females try to preach to their daughters that you don't need no man in your life, and you could do this on your own. That speech I don't like, but that's not necessarily true all the time, as we know
It's not a preaching to them. It's getting them prepared for the real world, because at some point you will find out that you never know.
Overall, the female will never know. She might find the right man for the time being. But we all need help. We all need a partner in our life, whether it's a friend, a lover, or a family member, whatever. It takes two.
Ask Bert and Ernie.
Yes, rubber
ducky. Oh my goodness.
They have their rubber ducky.
Well, as always, K Dog, Tisha, Brother B, and unfortunately Sean Black. Thank you so much, guys, for a good show tonight.
No,
can't wait to talk about this again next week. And Brother B, You can play with my rubber ducky anytime you want in the bathtub. Thank you so much.
I think he wants you to give him some greetings and salutations. Oh, man.
Hey, you never know. Good night,
hey,
everyone.
Never know,
as
brother.
As always, the pleasure was all yours.
Yes.
All yours.
Yo, what if you hang up? You couldn't take it no more.
Oh, damn.